Welcome to Ecclesia Principles, a biblical strategy for restoring America, with your host, Ray Eppert.
With us today, and today we're going to deal with a couple different Ecclesia principles, but we're going to do it around the idea of inflation. Because you see, right now, we're dealing with a significant spike in inflation in our country. And there's a lot of things about economics that unless you take the time to study it, and I'm not saying study it a lot, just studying the basics of economics. And we're going to talk about some of those things this morning. You will find, because one of the biggest things that people talk about is the wealth gap. The rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer. In today's program, we're going to show you that the time that that happens the most, the time that the separation grows the fastest between the haves and the have-nots is during times of inflation. And it's not rocket science to figure that out. What has been going on economically has been, for the have-nots, one of the worst things that could happen. A huge, huge gap is being separated. During times of economic prosperity, people say, well, the rich just got richer. Yeah, the rich got richer. But also, the poor got better off. The poor increased in their positions. Now, you might say, well, one advanced faster than the other. Yes, that is common. But during times of inflation, that gap of separation increases even faster, and the have-nots are actually diminished during that time of inflation. They have less. They're in worse shape financially. And again, it's not rocket science, but we need to understand this. And with this, one of the principles that we're going to talk about when it comes to government, our principle number four is power is for service. See, ultimately, policies should be geared to endeavor to benefit everyone as much as possible. We're not in a perfect world, so it won't ever fully happen that way. But that should be the objective, to try to do that, to try to improve everyone's situation. When policies and practices create inflation, it damages the poor tremendously. You know, we've been dealing with gas prices. I read an economic report that said that during the course of this, it is very likely that, you know, in our area here in Virginia, that gas will probably go up to $5 a gallon. In some places like California and so forth, it could end up going up as high as 10 unless something intervenes and changes that. Well, let me ask you a question. Who does $10 or $5 a gallon gas hurt the most? You know, there was a joke back when Tom Brady announced he was coming out of retirement. I saw a post on Facebook that said, you know, gas prices so high, even Tom Brady's having to come out of retirement. But with that, the bottom line, gas price doesn't affect somebody like Tom Brady. The gas price doesn't affect the haves. The wealthy, gas could go up to $10 a gallon. They won't like it, but they will be okay. But the person that hurts is that person, and let's just deal with it, because if we had a $15 minimum wage right now, even at $15 a gallon, if you're having to work a day and a half to fill up your gas tank, then you're going to be missing out on something else. Inflation hurts the poor. Now, and let me ask you another question. Again, just dealing with the basic elements of this. That inflation, when the poor pay the $5 for the gas, Who gets that money? Do other poor people get it? No, it goes to the wealthy. It goes to the ones that own the businesses, own the corporations, and so forth. And I'm a capitalist. Don't misunderstand me. What we're really hitting at here is we have to understand that one of the worst things for people, power is for service, especially on the lower end of the economic scale. Inflation is the most detrimental aspect of the economy. An economic boom where the wealthy do well does not hurt the poor as much as a time of inflation. The time of inflation is when the wealthy get the wealthiest, and you create it. Ultimately, it is a threat to the middle class. And if inflation is unchecked, you end up with two classes, the extremely wealthy and the poor. Inflation is a major issue. Stay with us through this break, and we'll be right back.
Jesus said, I will build my church, or ecclesia. Ecclesia identified those who are called out to vote on issues that determine their culture. Jesus expects us to positively influence our culture with equality, liberty, and justice for all.
We're back, and we're talking today, largely our topic is inflation. And principle number four, power is for service. Inflation, as I said in the first segment, is the most destructive element of an economy for the poor and the middle class. It really destroys that. Now, with this, right now, because we're dealing with oil and so forth and so on, let's deal with energy and inflation. Because even back with the Iraq War, Kuwait, Desert Storm, so forth and so on, well, we just did that for oil. Well, here's the thing. You need to understand how energy works. And ultimately, if there is inflation in the energy segment, then it will drive up inflation in every other area. Because ultimately, let's talk about bread. You're going to bake some bread. At that point, if you're going to bake the bread, unless you're doing it out on a wood stove, something like that, you're either gas or electric. You say, well, what about solar? Well, I'm glad you asked that. We'll get more into that. But even to produce the solar panels, to produce those things, there are other energy elements that have to be used in the creation of that. So energy is the base element of society. If energy prices fluctuate, then everything else fluctuates. If energy goes down, cost will either go down or at least remain stable. If energy goes up, you have inflation. And with that, you know, it amazed me a couple of weeks ago, listened to someone from the administration, and they said, well, you wouldn't have this problem if everybody was driving electric cars. Well, that, I really hope they don't understand what they're talking about. Because if they understand what they're talking about, then they're lying. They're just flat out lying. I really just hope they don't understand. That would make me feel better than it's just an outright lie. Because ultimately, electric cars run off of batteries. Well, let's talk about what a battery does. A battery does not create electricity. A battery stores electricity. And so when it comes to an electric car with the batteries, then that power has to come from somewhere to go into the battery to charge it. And in all honesty, the overwhelming amount of charging that is done is ultimately produced by gasoline and by coal. So even if you say, well, you know, you wouldn't have this problem, wouldn't have this if we had electric cars. No, it would still be a problem because how are you going to get the electricity into there? That has to be generated. And with that, another thing, just a little side note here, I'm fine. We have a hybrid in our family. We've had more than one of those. And so I'm not opposed to the green movement. Don't understand me. I just think we have to understand it. It's not the panacea that everybody's talking about. Because the bottom line, even windmills that they talk about. Well, there's one big problem with that. These massive windmills that they're putting up, those blades only last 15 to 20 years, and then it's impossible to recycle them at this point in time. So that is creating pollution. And actually, some of the things like that, like the post and so forth, those, to create those is a huge carbon footprint. To create the steel, to create the metal, or to create the concrete, all of those things increase the carbon footprint, and then you wind up with something that you can't recycle. You just have to go pile it up somewhere. And the same thing's true currently with the electric vehicles. Those batteries last forever. And I'm not talking about in the car. I'm talking about after the car is dead and gone. There's nothing you can do with those. They just pile up. And, you go back and how do they get those? The lithium ion and so forth. There is such massive drilling that has to take place that destroys the surface of the earth. It's not good for the environment in those areas. The more we move that direction, it's going to create more of that. The bottom line, what I'm trying to say in this segment is, that's not a panacea. Right now, everything is still intertwined. Energy, doesn't matter what type of energy it is right now, it is still connected to the carbon footprint. Even the electric cars, it still is. And we just have to understand it. I'm not saying we don't need to go that direction. I'm just saying we need to understand it clearly and not think that it's the panacea that it's not. Well, stay with us through this break, and we'll be right back.
Augusta Seed, your local Augusta County seed corn distributor since 1977. Producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed, buy local. Find them on the web at AugustaSeed.com.
You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppert, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
We're back. Now, here in segment three, what I really want to talk about, we've identified that inflation, one of the biggest drivers of inflation, is energy. And we spent most of the last segment talking about especially electric vehicles and that a lot of what's being put out there, again, I'm not against the direction we're going. Just don't be deceived into thinking that it's more than it really is. And especially when we hear people say, like we did a couple weeks ago, that, oh, we wouldn't have this gas price problem if everybody just had an electric car. Majority of electricity is, there's not an electric tree from that standpoint. There's not that many, hydroelectric plants. There are some, but the bottom line is the majority of electricity is still generated in other ways, by and large. Now, with this, but what increases energy cost? Because not just in the vehicles, but if you're going to bake some bread, you put it in the oven, there's electricity. You've got energy that you're using up. If you're heating your home, You might have electric. You might have propane. You might have oil. You might have natural gas. All of those things are driven by energy. Again, energy is the primary factor in inflation. Now, what causes inflation in the energy segment? Well, again, well, I didn't say this, but we've all heard it, supply and demand. When demand increases beyond the supply, then the price goes up. Now, I'm going to say something that hopefully you understand what I'm talking about. Something else that causes the price to go up is when there's more money in the system. Now, by that, what I mean is, let's go back to the stimulus checks. Trillions of dollars were injected into the economy. Well, people needed that. There's more than one way to deal with a problem. But if you hand somebody a check, they see that and understand that a whole lot easier. But what typically happens is they don't understand the ramifications. There were people back then saying doing this way will cause hyperinflation. You don't hear a lot of people repeating that nowadays, but that is part of what we're dealing with. You see, just imagine you got four kids. Don't have to be young, just four random kids. And you got four candy bars. And they've all got a dollar each. But you go and you say, hey, I got $20 here. 20 $1 bills. And then you hand that $20 to those four children. You could do it evenly. You could offset a little bit. But let's just say you did it evenly. Now all of them have got $6. A while ago, they only had one. Now let me ask you a question. When they had $1, what would they have paid for their candy bar? The most they could have paid for their candy bar was $1. But now that you have artificially given them $6, guess what they're willing to pay now for that candy bar? The price of that candy bar just went up. Now, let's switch it around a little bit. Let's bring a fifth child into it. You got the four that's got $6. You bring a fifth child in, it's only got $1. There's still only four candy bars. Who's going to go without? And you see, that's that dynamic of the haves and have-nots. If you artificially put money into the system, and I'm not saying it's illegal and there's more depth to that that we don't need to really get into right now, but it's still an artificial creation of money. Money is created through debt. But at that point, you have somebody, let's say they even have $2 or $3, but the others have $6. What's the likelihood that they're going to get one of the candy bars? They're not. Even though they go from even $1 to $3, they're still going to be without because they will not be able to pay the price that the others are able to pay for. That is, again, why the rich get richer and the poor get poorer during a time of economic inflation. It is the most detrimental thing to the middle and lower class economically. Stay with us through this break, and we'll be back for the fourth segment.
Want to make a difference in your community? Check out cityelders.com or search City Elders Augusta County, Virginia. City Elders exist to influence government spiritually, politically, and economically so that life is protected, liberty is defended, Christ is exalted, and families can flourish. See about helping start a group in your area. You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppert, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
All right, glad to have you back today. And today, again, we're talking about inflation, particularly as it relates to energy And principle number four, power is for service. You see, in this, let's quote Bill Clinton for a moment. During his re-election, no, excuse me, during his first election, he said, "It's the economy, stupid." And he encapsulated so much in that statement, and it was true. Because the bottom line is the economy is what affects everyday life. Again, going to our scenario with the five kids. Four of them have $6, one of them has $3, but there's only four candy bar. Somebody is going to go without a candy bar, and it's probably not going to be the kids that have $6. They'll all pay $4 to get it, and the kid will be out of it. And you see, ultimately, that's the way things work. When you got more money, then it doesn't hurt you to pay the higher price. So when it comes to those in power, and there are limits. The picture of the economy of a nation like the United States, it is complex, but it's driven by basic principles. You know, the way you solve complex problems is by simplifying the issues. You don't come up with complex solutions to fix complex problems. You just end up with a really big mess. You have to go back to basic principles. When there's inflation, the poor are going to get poor. The middle class is going to shrink. The wealthy are going to increase in wealth at a faster rate during inflation than any other time. What has to be done policy-wise is create a situation, and you can't do it artificially. That's, again, the stimulus was an artificial solution. You cannot ignore 2 + 2 = 4. You cannot ignore basic fundamental principles. We have to. You know, a couple weeks ago, I talked about how when the XL pipeline, I call it the Alaskan pipeline, was closed down on day one of the current administration. I said to somebody then, I said, eventually gas prices are going to get up to $5. It is not because of what Putin has done in the Ukraine. The track was set already because policies were set into place that shut down the current production, and restrictions and regulations were put in there. It didn't say you can't do it, but it made it harder to do. It made it less cost effective to do it. And that's why you hear sometimes, well, you know, there's all kinds of permits out there, but they're not doing it. Well, the reason they're not doing it is because regulations have made it to the point that, you see, oil production is speculative. You can drill a hole. That doesn't mean you're going to hit oil. So you end up doing a number of things, and then finally you hit something. Now they've got science that improves that, but still, it's not just a drill a hole and you got oil. You know, Uncle Jed out shooting up some food and so forth. It's not like that. It's speculative. Costs are high if it fails. Profits are high if it succeeds. But taking that risk when costs are driven up even more is discouraging. That's why drilling isn't happening so much, because they got to make sure it's going to work before they go that far. There is a parsing out and a pacing of what's being done. And at that point, new drilling isn't going to help us right now anyway. That takes a while. What helps right now is going ahead and opening up the pipelines that have been closed, that are not allowing the oil to flow. That would help today. That can happen, you say today to it, and it can almost start tomorrow from that standpoint. And ultimately, the policies when we're talking about God's rules for government, ecclesia principles, power is to be used for service. Yes, we need to develop technologies for the future, but we don't need to be putting people, especially the poor, through terrible situations to get there. We need to do our best to make things as good for them as possible and improve the future. Well, you join us again next week. God bless you.
You've been listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard. Follow us on podbean.com. Also available on Facebook at Liberty Justice HQ and online at libertyjusticehq.com.